Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABC, and skinned our hearts and skinned our knees.
Goodbye, all right. My friend. Welcome back to Back and Forth with Pope and Nudie. A bit of a sad episode today, but we'll make it through it. Pope, how are you handling it over there?
You know, we've given it a little while. I've had time to mull it over. There's a Gordon Hayward-shaped hole in my heart that will never be filled, but I'm soldiering on, and I think we have reasons to be hope, which we will discuss later today.
Yeah, and perhaps an even more devastating news. Boris Diaw was waived today. May he also rest in peace.
We don't need to talk about it again. I just want to put it out there. I love Boris Diaw. He's just a super beautiful Frenchman who loves his coffee. And he just brought a veteran leadership to the team we don't really have. We didn't pay him that much, but because the salary cap is super tight right now, we can't afford him. It's a shame. Yeah. He wasn't good. He passed like a god, but he couldn't move. I just love Boris Diaw. That's all I
want to
say.
Yeah, and we didn't plan to talk about this, and I don't want to, but I just want to share my three favorite memories of Diaw. One is Greg Popovich saying, "I miss Boris in San Antonio because I don't have a drinking buddy anymore."
Yep.
Two would probably be Boris Diaw saying on his favorite things to do in Utah, and he said, "Oh, the nightlife, definitely." And three would probably be my favorite of all time. Is this past summer, he's walking through the national parks in southern Utah, Arizona area, all that. And he posts a picture and he says, "Man, I was too tired, but the dogs wanted to go for a walk, so I got on the Segway." And it's a picture of him on his Segway walking his two dogs because he's too lazy to walk with them. Those are probably my favorite memories of Boris Diaw.
He's a beautiful human being. And I hope he's great. I hope everything's good in life.
Me too. But yeah, so that was just a sad piece of information for us. Hayward, we'll just jump right into it. Gordon Hayward crushed Jazz Nation's hearts. He just ripped our hearts right out of our chest.
No, but Alex, he thanked all of us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, never mind, everyone. I actually don't feel bad because there was a sweet article in the Player Tribune. Utah.
All five people who listen to this, shout out to you. Our mothers, they know the details of the situation. I'm gonna just go over it really quick. Good. He was a free agent. It was between us, Boston, Miami. Miami was ruled out. The whole thing was just that he decides Celtics. It leaks out. ESPN reports it. They don't want it to get out that way. They the agent says, "Oh wait, we're still deciding." Turns out no, and then he drops a Player Tribune article 6 hours later. Essentially, yeah. Giving us a little bit of hope and then ripping it right back. Anyways.
And here's the hard part with that. And again, probably wasn't done maliciously. Dennis Lindsay has said it wasn't malicious on Hayward's part. But because he waited to publish his own piece rather than just, come out with the leak and then publish his article later, the Jazz didn't go for Danilo Gallinari, who got traded during that six-hour waiting time. They didn't offer Otto Porter. They didn't, and who's to say, maybe we wouldn't have gotten any of them. Otto Porter, and who knows, we may have not gotten any of the free agents.
That's what happens when you have a player and you decide to go after him, that is just a side effect of us choosing, we're going to go all in on Gordon Hayward. You have to take that because it's in his hands. It's out of your hands at that point. So it's a bummer, but that's how it works.
Yeah. And it really does, I'll be honest, I hate Boston. And I hate Hayward just because of that. I'll say it. Not all of Boston. I'm sure the rest of Boston's great. Go Boston. I do not like Danny Ainge. If Brad Stevens wasn't always so pleasant on camera, I would hate him. But he always seems to have a smile on his face, so I guess I can't, hate him. But I was pretty mad, and then it turned into, instead of mad, it was just kind of sad. Oh, man, here we are. We're on the brink of, making noise, because even with all the additions to the Western Conference, Chris Paul went to Houston, and Paul George OKC, all this stuff, we would have had a pretty dang good team if you had Hayward and you got Gobert and you bring Rubio in. Like, I think we would have been competitive because Hayward would have given us enough shooting and enough offense, and Gobert would have been, like, awesome. You know, I think we were really progressing, and we could have really, with 4 more years, who knows what could have happened. So I just was kind of sad that that kind of got left.
I think, you know, here's my little spiel. I think number one, don't be a jerk. Like, people who are commenting on his wife's Instagram with hateful stuff, like, you're an idiot. Like, come on. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, Gordon Hayward is a human being. He has a family. He was choosing between two jobs. He picked one job, you know, and he thought that job would be better for him and his family. Like, I support that. Like, I don't – like, Gordon Hayward, do you want. Like, live your life. But I think on the other hand, fandom is weird, you know. Like, I love the Utah Jazz. Like, just, you know, like – And he went to, you know, our rival. He went to another team who we're directly competitive against. I don't like that. I hate that. And so I think that's the both sides. I think in the middle is kind of the rational, you know, response, which you talked about, that it sucks because we had been building up to this. Like, last season was what we had been building up right. for since we lost D-Will and Sloan, you know. Like, that was what
right.
was ultimately we're going for. And I think more than anything, Gordon Hayward, you know, I'll be honest, we draft Gordon Hayward, I'm like, oh, come on, it's just another white guy. Like, of course the Jazz draft him, you know. Like, I wasn't excited. Like, if anything, just seemed like his value was overinflated because of a miraculous final, you know, a miraculous championship final run, which, like, didn't mean anything. Like, look at Buddy Hield. How good is Buddy Hield right now? And all he did is just show up in the tournament, you know. So I wasn't excited about Hayward, but he developed, and we developed him. We turned him into the player he is today, you know, into the NBA, the, like, all-star caliber NBA players today. So he felt like he was ours. He felt like we had raised him, which we had, the Jazz had. But, yeah. I mean, he had a whole life before us, you know, and his relationship with Brad Stevens obviously was important to him. And honestly, since our team is kind of built around Gobert and not Hayward, Boston is probably more flexible for him than we are. But I don't think, you know, the amount of wins is different, essentially, between us and Boston. All that sucks. That's all I'm trying
to say. And I'll disagree a little bit on it's built more for him in Boston than here, because I think our team is defensively built around Gobert, but offensively, I think it was built around Hayward. And now I think that shifts, and we got to figure out. Well, I mean, we could talk in the future about what's going to happen offensively, but
I guess I just mean that, like, I think Quinn Snyder, we know he loves a fast moving pass, like, motion offense. So does Brad Stevens. But since, just because we have Gobert and some other personnel here, Quinn Snyder, like a good coach, has kind of shifted it to be a slower possession heavy offense, while Brad Stevens has maintained the motion, which maybe I don't think that's, like, tipping the scales towards Boston. I'm just saying maybe that was a thing that Gordon Hayward liked. And at the end of the day, we don't know what convinced him to go, but obviously, and I think it was Brad. It's Brad. Like, come on, it's Brad. Like, we know. That was just kind of what stung me about the Utah letter. He had a lot of positive things to say about a lot of people of Utah, and that's awesome. Like, that means a lot. It just sucks that it comes when he's leaving. And essentially, it was just a whole letter about, man, Utah's dope. But he's like, oh, actually, also, though, I'm going to Boston. Boston's the coolest. Like, that was just like, well, you buried it at the bottom, Gordon. Like, I don't think all these paragraphs are essentially erased when you have that bottom one that says, oh, all right, peace out. That's all. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling now.
No, it's okay. Yeah, and you're going to that Player Tribune article, and this whole what you just said, we might never know for sure what was it that drove him out. Was it, you know, there was an article. I think,
really quick,
I think
Spence Chekish. You should read Jody Genesee's article in the Salt Lake Tribune about, with Mark Bartlestein, his agent.
No, Desert News. Insightful. Desert News, I think.
Oh, it's Desert News. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a super insightful article. Anyways, keep saying what you're saying.
Yeah. And it is insightful. And yeah, I thought Jody Genesee did a great job. Shout out. I'm sure he listens to this. You know, who doesn't? I guess, you know, we might not know what Hayward's thoughts were. We guess.
Definitely.
And I think it'd be a pretty good guess to say it was Brad Stevens. Because for me, I look at it and it's like that first day I was thinking, and kind of leading up to it too, I was pretty excited. I thought, man, the Jazz have a good chance of keeping him. Because I guess I was looking at it, it's like, okay, well, why would he leave? It's like, which team's better? And it's like, truthfully, Boston won two more games than Utah did last year, and they were in the Eastern Conference. And Utah had like a billion injuries. So, you know, I think realistically, it's we're probably the same in win total. So I was like, well, no, it can't be that. And it's Quinn Snyder and Brad Stevens. It's like, well, I think he likes Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder helped him become an all-star. He's played for him for 3 years. And so it seems like that. And, oh, he has a family. Okay, well, Utah seems like a good place to raise a family. And, oh, he's the center point of the offense. Oh, that's great. Oh, he can make more money. Like, it kind of all seemed to fit with Utah. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, if I had to guess, and there was a Spence Checkitz article that made a lot of people mad, I think, where he was saying Hayward had decided to leave as early as, like, last year. I can't remember what it was. Or maybe it was just after the sweep against whenever it was. He was saying it was something he had decided a while ago. And that, maybe that's true. I don't know. I just think he must have really liked Brad Stevens. And, you know, and I'll go with this, going off of your, like, oh, we're so mad because we love the Jazz. It is funny because, truthfully, yeah, when he was drafted, I mean, I didn't think he was going to be very good. I didn't think he'd be an all-star. I kind of thought he'd be a bust. His first season wasn't super great. Darren Williams, like, yelled at him because he couldn't remember the play or to run the play right.
Delonte West wet gave him
from Delonte West.
I was just making sure you're going to get that.
I got to – no, the wet Willie was probably –
the best moment of his career.
Probably the highlight of his time in Utah, for sure. But, yeah, you know, like that. And even Brad – I think it's interesting listening to, like, Brad Stevens say, like, hey, we didn't think he'd make it to the NBA when we recruited him, and we never thought he'd be an all-star. And it's like, you know – coming from a college coach. So I think that speaks a lot to Quinn Snyder and their staff and what they've done. So, you know, I mean, I think it just came down to he must have really had a good relationship with Brad Stevens off the court, more than on the court. Because I think you could argue Quinn Snyder is just as good, if not better, of a coach on the court than Brad Stevens. And developmentally, I think they've done great. But there must have just been a really great off-the-court connection, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, what are your thoughts? The report came out that, well, Gobert said he didn't really text him or talk to him, and Snyder wrote a great thank you note, but he also, and I thought in the thank you note was pretty, well, it's a testament to our staff, and we're just going to move on, kind of like a, I'm done with Hayward, he sucks, kind of, I felt like it was kind of a, yeah, we're sad he left, but whatever, we're done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's hard. Those kind of feelings are hard to avoid, you know, like they had been working on building something. I mean, Rudy talks all the time about, you know, like the goal is playoffs, the goal is playoffs, the goal is playoffs, you know, like he hit that all the time for as long as he's been on the team, as long as he's been a starter, you know, right. And Hayward was just arm in arm with him in building that thing. And I guess it hurts to probably see someone who is so instrumental in building something special from nothing, you know, just leave for the Boston Celtics, you know?
Right.
Who have lucked into the best situation in basketball because the Brooklyn Nets are the most incompetent situation in basketball,
because,
you know?
Because the Brooklyn Nets somehow made a trade that we'll never understand.
Boston was able
to... Where they traded, like, four first-round picks in a row. I don't even know what it was.
Like, Boston is able to be the 76ers while also also building a team, you know? Like, they're able to do
both
at the same
time. They can be the 76ers while still having, like, Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas.
And that's just a once-in-a-lifetime situation that people give Danny Ainge way too much credit for. I'm right there with you. Danny Ainge sucks. But
like, Danny Ainge, like... First off, do we even know if he's a good general manager? Like, the Brooklyn Nets, whoever the owner was at the time, like, what on earth was that guy thinking? Like,
so
do we even
know
if Danny Ainge has done anything?
Billy King, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, is terrible.
Thank you.
This goes into just kind of what I want to talk about as we pivot to the next section of the pod. Yeah. I think there's a lot of small market versus large market kind of tension in this. That, of you know, he goes to the Celtics of all places, you know. Where they love any white guy who can shoot above like 30%. Like, he is their
Larry Legend.
Is Danny Ainge a good general manager? You know, he's not a bad one, but the thing is, with large markets versus small markets, the margin of error is so much tighter in small markets. that if you're in a large market, you can whiff on a bunch of draft picks. Danny Ainge has drafted terribly some years and great others, you know? But he's fine because they're the Celtics. Here, though, like we have one bad draft, that can set us back like a year or two, you know?
Oh, yeah. No,
if we have two, Trey Burke. Yeah. Like Trey Burke, Trey Lyles. Like, I mean, I don't know about Trey Lyles, but like Trey Burke, like set us back multiple years, and we had to spend our highest draft pick in forever on a replacement player for Trey Burke. You know what I mean? In Dante Exum.
Right.
And just the margin is so much tighter. If you mess up, you can become like KD can leave. You know, if you mess up, you can become the Orlando Magic. Irrelevant for forever. You can be the Timberwolves. You can be the Timberwolves who have to get like 2000 like first round picks before you become anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I'm trying, Magic. So what it's a blast
from the past. Forgot the Orlando Magic.
Remember they exist. but so I guess what I'm trying to say is, but what I think is our solace in this dark time, but also like legitimately a bright ray of hope and like our path to the future, is that we have a good front office. We have a front office which drafts well and develops players well.
In Dennis, we trust.
Like, not always you get both. I mean, look at the Bulls. They developed, they drafted Jimmy Butler, but they can't develop anyone else. Jimmy Butler just kind of happened and they didn't know what to do with him. And now he's gone, you know?
Right.
Some teams can develop way awesome players, but then they don't do anything with them, you know? Like, we are able to draft good players like Gobert and Hayward. Gobert's like a pick out of nowhere. Rodney Hood, a lot of people thought Rodney Hood, but they didn't think he would turn into a reliable NBA player. We'll still see, but he's on his way there, you know? But yeah, we can also develop. I would say he's
definitely on. Yeah. Well, and I think that's what – and it's what you said. I think that's the maybe difference between our front office and Boston. It's what you said. Boston drafts Paul Pierce however many years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's good, but Boston's not super great for a while. And then they're like, oh, but we're a big market, so people want to play here. So it's like, hey, we'll trade you this pick for Ray Allen.
Exactly.
And all these for, and all these for Kevin Garnett. And they're like, oh, sweet, that's awesome. And it's like, yeah, we're great. Whereas like Utah, it's like, hey, we'll trade you all this for, I don't know, Kevin Love. And it's like, no way, man. Don't want to play in Utah. So I think it's what you said. But, yeah, I guess going into this next part, it sucks what happened with Hayward, but it's not over for the Jazz.
No.
By any means. You know, hey, am I saying it's going to be easy to replace an all-star? No. I mean, Hayward averaged 22 points a game, like 5 rebounds, however many assists, like, he was a good offensive player, good player all around, defense, offense, very good. But I think what, going back to what you said about Quentin Snyder trying to do this motion offense and everything, I think you're going to see a lot more of just the ball moving the whole game, because there's not necessarily one guy that teams can key in on, you know, because you could say, oh, well, we can stop Rudy. Well, hopefully the idea is Joe Ingles is going to be able to shoot threes, or Rodney Hood will hit a few threes, or maybe Ricky Rubio can drive into the paint, you know, this and that. So I think the cupboard is not bare, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, just really quick, just a few thoughts on the big market versus small market, and then we'll jump into one of the most exciting things for me. But, from this whole thing, I would be curious to see if in the few years the NBA, you know, they instituted this supermax to kind of protect the small markets, as they said. And I don't think it'll work. I thought it would, but then not that Hayward was eligible, but you look at John Wall, who hasn't signed one yet. They offered him, and he said, I'm going to think about it.
Same
and
with Westbrook.
And that's in D.C. Same with Russell Westbrook. So it's like, I'll be curious if they explore something similar to the NFL with that franchise tag, where it's like, hey, you can franchise tag him for one more year and see if you can have a chance to like convince him to stay or something.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if that would ever happen. Who knows? Like, there's so many things that would have to happen with the NBA Players Union, but I'll be curious to see going forward if the NBA feels like it's really an issue and they'll try and fix it fix whatever they think is the issue, or if it'll just be like, well, that's just how life is, you know. But I guess. But anyways, that's just kind of my two cents, random train of thought.
Sure.
But jumping into, you know, the Jazz having a bright future. And
anyways, talking about talking about a player who's way better than Gordon Hayward, Donovan
Mitchell. Way better. Donovan Mitchell, everyone. Number 45 for Utah. Okay, so, backstory. The kid goes to, he's from Louisville, right? He plays for Rick Pitino, great coach, all that jazz. And then he declares for the NBA draft, and the Jazz are his very first workout. And after his workout, he just couldn't stop talking about, like, oh, I love Utah. I love the coaching staff. I love the culture. I love the front office. I love Utah as a place to live. I'm from New York, and it's dirty, and Utah is so clean. I love it, and I love the outdoors, and I've got friends. You know, just, like, couldn't say enough good things about it. And for those of you who listen, I'm sure you're Jazz fans, the five of you. But that's not something you hear about Utah from, you know. That's not a... I mean, going back to this last playoffs where Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green complained about having to play in Utah. You don't hear that from players. So first, just background of him is like, holy cow, we should get that guy because he wants to be here. That's awesome. But then not only that, so then he goes to the combine, the NBA combine, and just does great. He's 6'3", but has like a 6'10 wingspan, you know, which is just crazy. And so he's super athletic, can guard multiple positions. And he just lights it up, has a huge vertical jump, the highest, I think, at the NBA Combine. And then the Jazz, sure enough, trade up with the Denver Nuggets and pick him, you know? And for our listeners, a little history lesson. The last time we traded with the Denver Nuggets to trade up and draft someone, it was one Rudy Gobert. So, for what it's worth.
Take from that what you will, but...
It's clearly correlation equals... causation. Yeah, he's going to be the same type of player. But, you know, he looks like the early indications are he's going to be great. I mean, Pope, have you seen him play? What are your thoughts on him?
All I know is that I watched that gif of the steal and the backwards pass to Exum like 20 times. Oh. It was beautiful and glorious. To be fair, you know, a little bit of realism in here. It's summer league. Who knows? But... the things that you can take away from summer league is you can watch him play. You can see, oh, that move, that's going to work in the NBA. You know, he has skills that'll translate, and Donovan Mitchell does. He's going to be a good player. How good? I don't know, but he's going to be good.
Yeah. And this is what I'll say going on that for me. Yeah. It's summer league people. Dante Exum and Donovan Mitchell look the best out on the team, and they should. If they don't, then there's real concern.
Dante Exum's played in the summer league for like 30 years, I think, now.
Yeah, like if Dante Exum and Donovan Mitchell weren't the two best players on the court, and it was like, I don't know who even else was, Mitch Creek or like Spencer Butterfield.
What's that guy? Yeah, that there's would... some guy named Ware who's on like the Lakers or something. I don't remember.
Oh, I don't even know. Yeah. Funny people. So that's true. But for me, what you said, like moves, this is what stood out to me. His defense, like, he was all over the defense, just really into it. And the games that stood out to me were against Philadelphia and Salt Lake and against Boston. Because against Philadelphia, you know, he played good defense. He had to contribute on defense with Markel Fultz as well as some of the other guys. And I thought that was great. And against Boston, he guarded Jason Tatum a lot during that game, the number 3 overall pick. The so-called, we would have drafted him over number one anyways, but...
Jason Tatum sucks. So cool.
Yeah, screw you, Boston.
Tatum sucks.
So Tatum is what some people have said was the most impressive rookie in summer league. That's what some people have said. And he's like 6'8" or whatever, so he's bigger than Donovan Mitchell. And Mitchell played defense on him and did really, really well. Like, stripped him. Stole the ball a few times. He did a sweet spin move at the end of the game that made him lose his balance and fall down, and then he just made this easy pass to the guy underneath. Like,
yeah,
he did great. And so for me, yeah, against players who will probably play this year in the NBA, he looked good. And against everyone else, he looked great. And that's what you want from your summer league player, you know?
Exactly. And I think Exum looks great. I mean, I feel like we've had Dante Exum for, I think he's a 10-year veteran of the team now, but he's 22. On average, point guards make, and who knows if he's even a point guard, probably, but who knows?
I don't know.
On average, point guards make their first all-NBA team at 25. Like, it takes a lot longer to develop as a point guard.
Whoa. Because you need... Wait, whip that one out.
You need so much. Like, your IQ has to be higher to play at a higher level as a point guard. You need to be able to, need to have better floor vision. You need to be able to pass better. Generally, unless you're like, I don't know, Jeff Teague or whatever. Even him, he's not very good, you know, like whatever. He's good. But I'm just trying to say that Dante Exum still has a lot of room to go. And we have Dante Exum at 22. We have Mitchell at 20. You know, like
Gobert's only like 24, 25.
And then the rest of our core, quote unquote, is like Gobert at 25, Favors at 25, Rubio's only 26, Rodney Hood's 24. You know, like, we are still a young team, and we have this older, we have this older group who's proven to be good, and we have these couple of younger players that we're developing and can be really strong. You know, like, we're in a good position. We really are.
Yeah. Plus, we re-signed Joe Ingles. He's like 50, but, you know, he lived in the NBA for 2 years.
Yeah, so. He looks like he's 50, but he plays like a sprite 35-year-old man.
but he's only been in the NBA for 2 years, and he's gotten better both years, or three years, whatever, you know, 3 years now. Uh-huh. And it's like, so, no, I'm with you on that. We have a young team, and I think we just don't know. Exum looked really good in Summer League, I thought. You know, I got a chance to watch the Salt Lake Summer League, and then Exum didn't play in Vegas, but, you know, I thought Exum looked more confident. He was hitting three-pointers more frequently, which is something that's good. He's always been good on defense, and he's always been pretty quick, and sometimes he still looks a little out of control, but he doesn't, like, he looks like he's getting it more. And it's like you said, I mean, it's hard. They come in as, like, the number five draft pick, and you have all this pressure on him, but the reality is, as like a 19-year-old kid from Australia who's never played against any NBA professional NBA players, to come in and say like, "Hey, can you guard Chris Paul?" and then go down and play against him on offense.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That, you know, it's tough to do.
And he's only had two seasons. You know.
Yeah, he missed an entire season because of an ACL injury, and that's hard, especially for a player like him who so depends on his athleticism so much. To kind of get comfortable and confident back in that knee and say, like, okay, it's not going to buckle. It's not going to – I can go side to side. There's no pain, you know, this and that. So, yeah, I think Donovan Mitchell and Exum, it's a funny story. So my brother-in-law sat on the plane next to Rudy Gobert and Raul Neto on the way to Vegas.
Cool.
Like, yeah, he sent me a picture. It's awesome, and it was way sweet. But so I asked him, I was like, hey, did you, like, first I think I said, did you ask Rudy if he's going to elbow Hayward in the face? And he was like, no. And he's like, no, I asked him about Summer League. And Gobert said he was really impressed with the two guards, which met Mitchell and Exum. And so, you know, I think
Gobert's stamp of approval is enough for me.
The Stifle Tower has spoken. So, you know, I think we can still do something. Yes, the West got tougher, but I don't think it knocks us out of the playoff race.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I agree. I absolutely agree.
Like, I mean, because I think, and we'll talk more in the future, but Golden State, obviously, they're going to be the number one team for the foreseeable future, truthfully. Like, I mean, until one of those big four, I guess, leaves, I don't really see a team being able to beat them, truthfully. Yeah. And Houston maybe they got better with Chris Paul, who knows? Maybe they'll get Carmelo Anthony, and maybe you just don't know how they're going to play together. Ideally, they did get better. San Antonio is always going to be pretty good. But, you know, there's just a lot of unknowns, so I don't think Utah's out of it.
Yeah, I agree. We should wind down, and we need to do a more deeper, like, what is our team going to look like in the future starting
from things. Yeah, and we'll jump into that in future. I mean, we have all summer. Free agency is still going on. But the Jazz signed three players in the past 24 hours, so we've got time to talk
about that. I don't even know how many of those exist as real people. But I guess, shout out to Ekpe Udo. Closing statement, I totally agree. We have a solid core who's young, and we have a couple of guards coming up who are even younger. And I've just been so, like, what matters in the NBA more than anything, more than small market, large market, is a good front office. And a coach who can develop players. I mean, that's a huge ask, but that it really is the key, you know? And our front office and our coaching staff has proven they can draft well, they can find picks and find real players in places that you don't often find them, like Gobert. And
Gobert from the French League. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Neto. Neto. And they can – man, Neto is such a beautiful young kid. I hope we keep him forever.
Me too. And I hope he's just kind of like our team mascot.
Well, and he's Gobert's best pal. Like, I have seen them on plane flights before too, you know, like.
I know, they just like, it's like his sidekick.
Anyways, what I'm trying to say is we have a great future ahead of us, and we have a lot of people. We don't have too many people on salary for after this year. A bunch of our veterans are up after this year. So this year will be a great time to really see where everyone's at, see how Exum and Mitchell really are coming along, how Mitchell handles his rookie season, see how many games that Derek Glasney's favors can play, you know. And but I think we have a bright future ahead of us, and I don't. And I know that we'll be able to find more players in the future through the draft, you know, so I'm not worried about that. I think we'll be fine.
Yay, verily. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Wow.
But, yeah, so Jazz Nation, keep your head up. Yeah, it sucks now that Hayward left, but I think it'll be a good season. And, yeah, we'll continue to dive into this in the coming months as we lead up to the season. But I think what Pope said is exactly right. We have a good front office. We have a good coach. We're going to be all right. We've got Gobert under contract. It's going to be good. We've got a lot of good things going for us, and so it's not the end of the world. But that's all, you know, that's all we have for you this week. And go ahead, take a listen again. Tweet out to us. Well, not to, you know, to Pope. not him. But to me. Or Facebook or email. I mean, we have an email somewhere. And I don't know. But, yeah. And let us know, and yeah, we'll catch you guys in the next week, I guess.
All right. Talk to you later, Nudie.